Okay. I'd like to respectfully acknowledge the traditional custodians of the land here in Liverpool. We express our gratitude in sharing this land. Yet we acknowledge with deep sorrow the terrible cost of that sharing. In our Heavenly Father's wisdom and love, He gave this place to the Cabrigal clan of the Darug Nation. And as we continue to learn to live together on these ancestral lands, we pay our respects to the elders, past, present and emerging. Our Heavenly Father, please unite us all through the knowledge of your Son, by whom all things have been created and have their being. Holy Spirit, please continue to move throughout our great nation and bring healing to this country and all its many peoples. In Jesus' mighty name, amen. Steve's going to open in prayer for us.
Good evening, everyone. My name's Steve. I'm a regular at St. Luke's. We're about to pray to our Heavenly Father, so please pray with me. We lift up to you our brothers and sisters who are yet to put their complete trust in you. Your Son, open our eyes and soften their hearts. As we look into your word again, enable us to listen well so that we may have a clear understanding and a right response to your truth. Lord, may we be people who humble ourselves before you in all we do. Enable us to stay far away from the corruption of this world, to instead follow you and your ways. Help those of us who call Jesus our Saviour to live each day, seeking to please you in response to your continual forgiveness in Jesus. We thank you for your gracious gift of salvation through the death and resurrection of your Son, in whose mighty name we pray. Amen.
Okay, just a little bit of what's on. for those that don't know, work and development orders are a mechanism of the state government that allows us to help people shrink their overdue fines. If that's you, we have a course for guys, a course for girls, and some other ways that we can shrink people's fines. So if you want to know more, details will come up right at the end of the of tonight. The other thing I wanted to say, Friday is it is Good Friday. This is our significant time of the year, and St. Luke's would love you to celebrate with us this Easter. The service times are there on the screen, 8:30, 10:30 for Good Friday, and our usual times on the Sunday. Alrighty, I'll get Steve to come back and read the Bible passage for us. Tonight's talk is called People Are Slaves to Whatever Has Mastered Them, from 2 Peter chapter 2, verses 1 to 22. All right, Steve.
So again, our Bible passage today is 2 Peter chapter 1, chapter 2, from verse 1 to 22. It's in the middle of the service sheet and a little bit on the back. But there were also false prophets among the people, just as there will be false teachers among you. They will secretly introduce destructive heresies, even denying the sovereign Lord who brought them, bringing swift destruction on themselves. Many will follow their depraved conduct and will bring the way of truth into disrepute. In their greed, these teachers will exploit you with fabricated stories. Their condemnation has long been hanging over them, and their destruction has not been sleeping. For if God did not spare angels when they sinned, but sent them to hell, putting them in chains of darkness to be held for judgment, if he did not spare the ancient world when he brought the flood on its ungodly people, but protected Noah, a preacher of righteousness, and seven others, if he condemned the cities of Sodom and Gomorrah by burning them to ashes and made them example of what is going to happen to the ungodly, and if he rescued Lot, a righteous man who was distressed by the depraved conduct of the lawless, for that righteous man living among them day after day was tormented in his righteous soul by the lawless deeds he saw and heard. If this is so, then the Lord knows how to rescue the godly from trials and to hold the unrighteous for punishment on the day of judgment. This is especially true of those who follow the corrupt desire of the flesh and despise authority. Bold and arrogant, they are not afraid to heap abuse on celestial beings. Yet even angels, although they are stronger and more powerful, do not heap abuse on such beings when bringing judgment on them from the Lord. But these people blaspheme in matters they do not understand. They are like unreasoning animals, creatures of instinct, born only to be caught and destroyed. And like animals, they too will perish. They will be paid back with harm for the harm they have done. Their idea of pleasure is to carouse in broad daylight. They are blots and blemishes, revealing in their pleasures while they feast with you. With eyes full of adultery, they never stop sinning. They seduce the unstable. They are experts in greed, an accursed brood. They have left the straight way and wandered off to follow the way of Balaam, son of Beor, who loved the wages of wickedness. But he was rebuked for his wrongdoing by a donkey, an animal without speech, who spoke with a human voice and restrained the prophet's madness. These people are springs without water and mists driven by a storm. Blackest darkness is reserved for them, for their mouth empty boastful words, and by appealing to lustful desires of the flesh, they entice people who are just escaping from those who live in error. They promise them freedom while they themselves are slaves of depravity. For people are slaves to whatever has mastered them. If they have escaped the corruption of the world by knowing our Lord and Saviour, Jesus Christ, and are again entangled in it and are overcome, they are worse off at the end than they were at the beginning. It would have been better for them not to have known the way of righteousness than to have known it and then to turn their back on the sacred command that was passed on to them. Of them, the proverbs are true. A dog returns to its vomit, and a sow that is washed returns to her wallowing in the mud.
Good job, Steve. It's a great, big, long passage. last month, one of the things that we looked at from Peter's second letter was how false teaching is so deadly for mankind. Now, Peter expands further on this topic in the passage that Steve's just read for us. And there's just so much in this passage to talk about. Our time is limited. I'm sure you want to go home at some point tonight. So I'm going to pick out four main points to focus on. So let's dive in. The first point is this. False teachers cook up trouble and so are headed for destruction. In verse 1, Peter speaks of those who introduce destructive heresies. Or for the sake of my illustration in a minute, I'm going to say they're bad ingredients. Now, heresies are not just unhelpful things that confuse people a little bit. It is way more serious than that. You see, a heresy is a theological error so serious it can deprive someone of their salvation. I'll use my illustration from last way out. So heresy, in one sense, is a bit like cooking with ingredients that someone has not taken the time to check out properly or who do not understand why they are there in the original recipe. A bad cook often leaves out essential ingredients and adds what they think is needed Problem being, the end result is a deadly brew. If someone eats it, in the case of what we're talking about here, they are most definitely going to die. Some churches think that telling other people about hell, oh, that's a bit, you know, can't do that. That sort of turns people off from coming to church. So they just like leave that little bit out. Instead, they make up a religious tick list, some of them. Just do this, 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 and this, and you'll be saved. False teaching like this can either leave a person feeling really unsure about their salvation, desperately wondering if they have ticked enough boxes to impress God, or arrogantly thinking that they are so good doing the right thing that they have earned a ticket to heaven. But God's word teaches that some of us are no good. Some of us are good enough. No, doesn't say that. God's word teaches that no one is good enough. No one can save themselves. And everyone, according to those rock and roll theologians, AC/DC, everyone is on the highway to hell. That's actually true. Only Jesus can save us. So how unloving is it to tell people, not to tell people about the truth, about this salvation that's only found in Jesus? Maybe you've heard about the prosperity gospel. Anyone heard the prosperity gospel before? Yeah, a little bit about it. Okay. Well, basically, that's where a false teacher tends to lure people into his church, okay, or online, and by saying things like, God wants you to prosper. Or they might say things like, you can name it and claim it. And they sound very attractive on the surface. For example, there's an American guy who some of you may have heard of. I hope none of you watch online. But his name's Joel Osteen. You heard of him? Yeah, good. Don't look him up. Just take my word for it here. Joel Osteen, after hearing some of his talks for myself, I believe that he too is a false teacher. Just like Peter is warning us about, warning his readers about in our passage. Listen to what Joel says, right? I want to talk today about miracles in your mouth. When we speak something out, we are giving it the right to come to pass. It's one thing to believe you are healed, but when you say, I am healed, that's what releases the healing. There's healing in your mouth. When you say, oh, I'm not sure if I'm ever going to be healed, you are calling in more sickness. Anyone detect the problem in there? Seems to be about me. This false teacher is saying, effectively, you can be just like God, able to speak and receive healing for yourself, right? Yet, he says things from the Bible. He even mentions Jesus. But to me, he does so only to be attractive, right? A bit like, I don't know, smoke and mirrors are used by a magician or something like that. He just uses them in a way to lure people to him for his own purposes, right? He's a very wealthy gentleman. Now, look, sure, you can pray for anything, like being cured of cancer, or for more money, or to win the lotto, or to live a long life, or that a Ferrari might not, you know, be delivered this afternoon for you. But God, according to his good will and purpose, answers as he sees fit. God sometimes answers his prayers, yes. Sometimes he says, no. Sometimes it's a not yet. All because he has the whole world in his hands, you see. And he has that right as our creator to work all things to bring about his plans for the whole world, because that's his job. And that might include sickness, disease, war, earthquakes, famines, pain, suffering. After all, The Bible teaches us that he is the potter and we are the clay. So that means it's up to him how and how he wants to work the clay. That's us. You see, he is God. We are not. Now, there's another destructive heresy that occurs when a preacher totally ignores parts of what God's word teaches. For example, some churches are now teaching that there's really nothing wrong with, for example, same-sex relationships or marrying someone of the same sex. But look at what God's word says on the topic in 1 Corinthians 6, verses 9 to 10. I do not know that wrongdoers will not inherit the kingdom of God. Do not be deceived. Neither the sexually immoral, nor idolaters, nor adulterers, nor men who have sex with men, nor thieves, nor the greedy, nor drunkards, nor slanderers, nor swindlers will inherit the kingdom of God. Can you see the problem there? God's word teaches that not just those practicing homosexuality, right, are in trouble, but also people who commit adultery, those who have sex outside marriage, that is God's marriage between a man and a woman, those who believe in idols, those who steal stuff, those who are greedy, those who pickle their heads with drugs and alcohol, those who slander others or do dodgy deals. All of those things I've just mentioned are wrong. Peter calls people to continue to practice, Peter calls people who continue to practice these things as wrongdoers. That's what he labels them as. And clearly he says they will not inherit the kingdom of God. Or in other words, everyone on that list, and that includes quite a few people, probably pretty much every Australian at some point in their life, all of them, like those theologians said, ACDC, are all on the highway to hell. And it's not going to be a party. It's going to be eternal punishment. There's no end date. Now, even if it's hard for someone to hear the truth, nobody wants to hear that they are doing the wrong thing. But nevertheless, I hope you agree, it is simply unloving to not share what God's word says. Of course, how someone responds to these serious warnings is completely up to them. But as Christians, we are tasked to share the life-saving words of God's truth as they are. You see, that way people can hear God's word for themselves and respond. If they accept the truth and turn from their evil ways, they can be saved. Once someone has invited Jesus into their life, what follows, the evidence of that, is good works. Because they are saved. And it's the evidence of that decision of turning to Christ. Do they do these things? Saved people will then want to live trusting God with ever increasing obedience and work really, really hard at leaving all wrongdoing behind them. I want to mention one more common heresy. Some false teachers have said that if someone is suffering in any way, they say, oh, it must be because of some undisclosed sin in that person's life who's sick. And they seem to think that Christians are not meant to suffer. I don't know what planet they live on, but anyway. What a denial of reality. Christians get sick. They get cancer. And suffer just like non-Christians. And even die. My mum right now is in hospital. She's a Christian. And she's suffering. She's got a lot of stuff going on. Those false teachers to me have no idea how God works and how suffering is one of many tools he has at his disposal to get our attention, to teach us some tough lessons sometimes. Not because he's some sort of cruel, like a kid with a magnifying glass and we're just ants. No, quite the opposite. He does these things because he loves us. Let me give you an example. One day I was giving my eldest a bath, and after a while I noticed the water was a bit cold. So I turned on the hot tap. He was at one end of the bath and I was right at the other. I turned on the tap at the far end of the bath. And even the splashes wouldn't have reached him. But Jeremy put his hand out towards the hot water, okay, coming out of the tap. And I said, "No, Jem, it's hot." But he ignored me and kept sliding down the bath. So I repeated myself, "No, Jeremy, it's hot." Each time he looked right at me, okay, and kept moving towards the hot water. Eventually, he put his hand in the hot water. And then I said, "See? Hot!" He understood at that point. Now, just to clarify, his hand was not burnt, just a bit pink for a few minutes, okay? You see, as a good father, wanting my son to understand, I allowed a brief moment of suffering to teach my son about the dangers of hot water and steam and what have you. There are many places in the Bible where God allows suffering for his good will and purpose. But because of time, I'm just going to mention one. It's in the book of Job in the Old Testament, and it is worth the read. Anyway, in that, when you get to read it, you will actually read at the start how God suggests to Satan to test Job. It's not because Job is a bad guy. He's actually a really, really good guy. And it's all written in the Bible there for us to read. But God allows Satan to test Job. And Job suffers greatly. You see, one day, Satan, with God's permission, saw to it that all of Job's oxen and donkeys, he had 500 of each of them. All of them were stolen in one afternoon. He had 7,000 sheep and a stack of servants. And they were all burnt in some some rare thing that happened, okay? I can't remember it accurately for you. But they were all burnt up. Just remember that bit. He had 3,000 camels. They were also all stolen. This is all in the same afternoon, mind you, right? And then a mighty wind came up and collapsed a building or a house, if you like, where all his 10 children were having a feast. And the whole building collapsed on them and they all died. Yet it is written that Job feared God and shunned evil and was blameless and upright. Nothing Job said attracted this horrendous tragedy, this horrendous loss and suffering. Any false teacher who preaches that suffering happens because of someone's sin can easily be rejected when you understand Job and you can share it with them. Now, even though God suggested Job be tested, God remained in control, limiting Satan how far he could go with what he could do to Job. It is an amazing book you need to read. Or maybe listen to. There's 42 chapters. You got to stick at it. Gets a bit hard going in the middle because all his mates come and help and they're whinging and all sorts of stuff. And You're all coming and speculating why he's got this tragedy going on, why he's suffering. They think too he's got some sin in his life, right? You have to keep reading. Because God eventually speaks late in the book. And wow, does he put everyone in their place. It is quite the read. So please, check it out this month for yourself. The book of Job and the Old Testament. Now, false teachers sometimes seem very, very convincing. But only until you realize the Bible often says something very, very different to what they're banging on about. When you see any teaching that is different or goes against what the Bible teaches, then question it. Check it out for yourself. If it does not line up with what the Bible teaches, reject it. Ask a good, solid Christian mate. Hit me up if you don't have anyone that fits that bill at the moment. Always please be diligent and consider what you take in. Just because someone mentions Jesus or the Bible or God or even says that they are a Christian, plenty of them come to the front door sometimes, right? Even if someone from St. Luke's, is going off with something that you can't find in the Bible, okay? Check it out for yourself, and maybe you'll have an opportunity to rebuke them and say, what you're saying, mate, is not in the Bible. So the other place to be extremely cautious is online. You can type in all sorts of search words, Christian, preachers, stuff like that, God, and you'll get all sorts of stuff coming up. So be very careful. Go off someone that you check with someone else. If you're new and you're watching a bit of stuff online, in the sense of preachers and that, again, hit me up. I can point you in a couple of directions of some helpful teachers and that. There are many, many false teachers who, in effect, are like wolves in sheep's clothing, and they're always cooking up trouble, often for their own gain. It's also important to note that false prophets and false teachers will do this secretly, if you look at verse 1 on your service sheet. But the longer you soak in the Bible, not just bits here and there, you will get better and better at detecting errors and mistruths. And if you do not pay attention, like Peter was saying in our last way out talk, you might find yourself tricked and exploited as false teachers use made-up stories to lure you in. So if any false teachers and false prophets end up listening to this, repent and turn from your evil ways. If you don't, have a look at the end of verse 1, because it says you're going to bring swift destruction on yourself. Keep listening and hear Peter warn you further. Let's have a look at verses 4 to 9. For if God did not spare angels when they sinned, but sent them to hell, putting them in chains of darkness to be held for judgment, if he did not spare the ancient world when he brought the flood on its ungodly people, but protected Noah, a preacher of righteousness, and seven others, if he condemned the cities of Sodom and Gomorrah by burning them to ashes and made an example of what is going to happen to the ungodly, and if he rescued Lot, a righteous man who was distressed by the depraved conduct of the lawless, for that righteous man, living among them day after day, was tormented in his soul by the lawless deeds he saw and heard. If this is so, then the Lord knows how to rescue the godly from trials and hold the unrighteous for punishment on the day of judgment. So follow Peter's logic with me here. If God has cast angels who sinned into hell, if in Noah's day God flooded the whole world, judging the whole world, destroying the wicked, and if he destroyed those two cities, Sodom and Gomorrah, and if he rescued Lot from out of them, then God knows how to rescue godly people. and hold the unrighteous and ungodly for the day of judgment. So in short, God does allow trials for those who are godly, to test those who keep trusting. And he'll rescue them. He'll rescue you, that's you. But the righteous, the unrighteous, that is, God holds the unrighteous, evil people, he holds them for the day of judgment. Peter continues, verse 10. This is especially true of those who follow the corrupt desire of the flesh and despise authority. Bold and arrogant, they are not afraid to heap abuse on celestial beings. Yet, even angels, although they are stronger and more powerful, do not heap abuse on beings when bringing judgment on them from the Lord. But these people blaspheme in matters they do not understand. They're like unreasoning animals, creatures of instinct, born only to be caught and destroyed. Like animals, they too will perish. They will be paid back with harm for the harm they have done. Their idea of pleasure is to carouse in broad daylight. They are blots and blemishes, reveling in their pleasures while they feast with you. With eyes full of adultery, they never stop sinning. They seduce the unstable. They are experts in greed and a cursed brood. They have left the straight way and wandered off to follow the way of Balaam, son of Beor, who loved the wages of wickedness. But he was rebuked for his wrongdoing by a donkey, an animal without speech, who spoke with a human voice and restrained the prophet's madness. These people are springs without water and mists driven by a storm. Blackest darkness is reserved for them, for they mouth empty, boastful words, and by appealing to the lustful desires of the flesh, they entice people who are just escaping from those who live in error. They promise them freedom, while they themselves are slaves of depravity. For people are slaves to whatever has mastered them. Now, time does not permit me to dive too deep in here, but sometimes reading a great big chunk of scripture like that can give you a bit of an overall picture of the problem. As Peter continues warning believers of false teachers and heresies, we get a fuller picture of how false teachers can further be identified. And Peter concludes that false teachers become slaves to whatever has mastered them. So listen now to the points I've made from verses 10 to 19. But I want you to think about yourself. It's easy to sit back and judge false teachers. Very easy. But do you follow the corrupt desires of the flesh? Do you despise authority? Are you bold and arrogant and heap abuse on God and his angels? Do you blaspheme, that is, speak evil about the things you have no clue about? Are you a bit like an unreasoning animal who doesn't think, just acts out in primitive ways? Do you harm others? Do you carouse in broad daylight? Do you revel in your pleasures? Are your eyes full of adultery? Do you ever stop sinning? Do you seduce the unstable? Or would you say you're an expert in greed? Do you love the wages of wickedness, hurt, pain, harm, and grief? I'm sure there's many more. Do you speak boastful, empty words? Are you lustful in your fleshly desires and lure people in to your depravity who are trying to get away from others who live in error? Do you promise freedom for others, but are really a slave of depravity yourself? I think sometimes it's easier to point the finger, but when we look and self-focus, we can sort of go, hey, I don't want to be that guy. I've fallen down here or there. I've got to turn my back on this stuff. Peter concludes that actually, my third point, people are slaves, clearly, to whatever has mastered them. Now, as a follower of Jesus, not only do I not want to be a false teacher, especially as a minister, but Peter has pointed out that I can still be a slave to many things. It's possible. But my master now is Jesus, my Lord and my Saviour. Sin no longer has mastery over me. So I can read this list and be reminded and challenged to keep myself far away from any of these sins. My last point is this. Even though this passage has focused on false teachers, we too can learn from some of these warnings to not turn our backs on God's commands. Peter finishes this section with yet another warning to those who at one time have become followers of Jesus, but then have fallen back in their old ways. Look at verse 20 with me. If they have escaped the corruption of the world by knowing our Lord and Saviour Jesus Christ, and are again entangled in it, and are overcome, they are worse off at the end than they were at the beginning. Verse 21. It would have been better for them to have not known the way of righteousness than to have known it and then turn their backs on the sacred command that was passed on to them. Verse 22. Of them the proverbs are true. A dog returns to its vomit and a sow that is washed returns to her wallowing in the mud. Sadly, many false teachers have often started out embracing Christ as their Lord and Saviour, giving their heart even over to Jesus. It's not where they end up, though. All Christians need to intentionally seek God and His righteousness and stop seeking after the corrupt ways of the world. James teaches us in chapter 3, verse 1, not many of you should become teachers, my fellow believers. Of course, you know that we who teach will be judged more strictly. James doesn't give detail, and nor does Peter explain any further. But the warning is clear. They are worse off at the end than they were at the beginning. That's all it says. And that teachers will be judged more strictly. That's what James puts it. It doesn't expand what that will actually look like. Warning enough in there for us to not go down that road. Once someone has been rescued at great cost by no less than God's only Son being sacrificed for them, to ignore that and go back to your old way of life and be overcome by it, that communicates something to God, doesn't it? That really says you don't care a whole lot about Jesus taking on your punishment, about Him suffering and dying for you. So in short, don't be like Peter says in verse 22. Don't be that dog that returns to its own vomit. My dog did that the other day. I nearly took a photo for an illustration. I thought, no, I can't do that to you. It was gross. Let's just say it was all vacuumed back up. I'm like, oh. Right? And as Peter says, or don't be like a sow that is washed and returns to her wallowing in the mud. Let me pray. Heavenly Father, tonight's talk is full of warnings about false teaching. Please give us great wisdom to always be ready to reject teachings that do not line up with the Bible. Give us a spirit of discernment to not just accept anything and everything we hear without consideration to what you have said. We have been yet again reminded of how serious you are about following the truth found in your word, especially for teachers and preachers. Help all of us to have a healthy fear of you and of your coming judgment. May we each be followers of Jesus who want more and more to be obedient to you and your commands. May we be followers who stay far away from the corruption of the world. Lord, for those who are still in the darkness, who have not yet given their lives over to you, please help them understand your ways. Draw them to yourself. Open their eyes wide to see your true light. Thank you for the wonderful meal. My lovely wife and all those behind the scenes, including Daniel, have been working hard for us to enjoy tonight. And we thank you for those who generously support my chaplaincy, donating funds and praying for everyone here. And I praise you too, Lord, for Tom, who stepped up tonight to look after the tech stuff. Please bless this food we're about to receive and our conversations over this meal. I ask all this in Jesus' mighty name. Amen. I hope you can join us at our next way out on the 3rd of May. There's our church times. Feel free to come on and check them out. Don't forget, Easter is got extra services on this Friday, 8:30 and 10:30. My website is there for the checking out. If you're watching online or you watch it again when you go home, you can just scan that little QR code thing and it'll jump you to my website. And that's it. So bye for now, and we'll hopefully see you on the 3rd of May next month. God bless. Bye for now.